This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. To No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome, welcome one and all to the place, to the bar, where after a good long day at work, all the bad ideas go hang out. And we have to go in and try to find one that is worthy of being turned into a good movie or a good book or a good something, and then figure out how to make that transformation happen, how to make that makeover take place in just 10 short minutes. Zach, Sarah, how are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Excellent. Well, let's see if we can do something about that with our very first bad idea for today, which, dear listeners, if you would like to read along, there will be a link to this article in the episode description. The article comes to us from the Economic Times, which is India's English language business-based newspaper.
I see.
Okay.
And just to avoid a couple spoilers, we're going to just skip ahead. We're going to skip the headline and go straight into the article.
Always a good sign.
Always a good sign, isn't it? Always a sign that there's some superior bad ideas happening
here.
Let's
go.
So the article reads, have you ever fought the urge to open Facebook on your computer or mobile phone? Do you find it tough to focus or be productive due to your constant mindless scrolling on Facebook and hoped there was some way? Yep, no, that's what it says. And hope there was some way who could pull yourself back on track every time you seem to be drifting towards any social media app. Are you nodding in agreement? Well, you're not alone. In this story of an Indian American hiring a woman to slap him,
oh my God,
every time he opened,
I
Facebook
wondered if this was going here.
Will
okay, cool.
Definitely make you cool, close cool, cool, social cool, cool. media apps wow. and focus on the man's story.
Woof.
After all, it did catch the attention of Tesla boss Elon Musk,
no.
who shared the story on his official Twitter account on Wednesday.
He did.
A man named Manish Sethi, who is a founder of wearable devices brand Pavlok, hired a woman to slap him every time she seemed to be drifting towards using
Facebook. We need to pause the idea. Gabriel, we need to pause the idea. Because Zach introduced us to Pavlok, I want to say in 2015.
I think that sounds right.
Like, you've had this for a while.
That's about right. I was one of the initial backers for their original Kickstarter to break a bad habit. I had like a medical itch that no medicine could fix. And mostly the button taught me not to press the button. This is a wearable device that electrocutes you slightly to, in a Pavlovian sense, train you to stop doing various things.
To condition yourself out of
negative feedback conditioning.
Exactly. Smoking cessation, like inappropriate nighttime snacking, whatever it is that you want to stop, they proclaim that you can do this.
And you're telling me that the man who invented a device, a wearable device that shocks you, had to hire another human being to slap him?
Sarah.
That's what you're telling me?
This is the premium version. He's clearly beta testing.
I hate everything so much.
Christ.
So let's get through this, because there may be a little bit more context here about what is going on here.
Okay.
My God.
So Manish Sethi, who is the founder of the wearable devices brand Pavlok, hired a woman to slap him every time he seemed to be drifting towards using Facebook. Sethi found the woman through U.S. classified advertisements website Craigslist.
Wow.
With two fire emojis, Musk reacted to a tweet on Sethi's story, where the billionaire has over 63 million followers on his official account. the pay for the job was $8 an hour.
Okay, and that's only the required bad idea.
The person to be sitting next to Steepy at a cafe or his home and watching his screen to make sure he isn't using Facebook.
Yeah, what country is he in? Because that's not legal minimum wage, from what I understand.
No, the legal minimum in the U.S. is $7.25.
Fuck, I thought it was like... Okay, yep. We're just in New York State. I see.
We're just in New York State.
I see how it is. Okay, go continue, please. Sorry for the interruption.
Yeah. No, this is important. But why did Seethy resort to such tough measures? Quote, having worked mostly alone on my computer, I found that the majority of my time is spent unproductively, he says in a blog post. The businessman measured his productivity using an app that runs in the background of the computer and measures the amount of time one spends on each website. Quote, it lets you see exactly how much time you spend hard at work on your Excel spreadsheets. And exactly how much time you wasted watching episodes, Seethy reveals, adding, nothing makes me more embarrassed than seeing the amount of hours I spend wasted on Reddit and Facebook chat. This is when Seethy realized he needed, quote, someone to make him work, with permission to slap him in the whenever he cheated. After Seethy hired a woman to monitor his screen and slap him whenever he cheated, his productivity skyrocketed.
Wow.
My average productivity runs around 35 to 40% on most days. When Kara sat next to me, my productivity skyrocketed to 98%, Seethy adds in the post.
Give Kara a raise. Also, how are you living your life, bro?
Oh my God. Finish the article, Gabrielle.
So this is what I was getting to. The slap experiment, which was conducted back in 2012, has now gone viral after it found a fan in none other than Tesla boss Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Yeah, so, technically speaking, it is possible that this is a chicken and the egg thing, where like the idea for the Pavlok may have come out of this experiment.
Oh, no. So, Kara got fired and replaced by automation? That's right, baby.
That's right.
They were like $8 an hour, too high a price. We gotta automate this. Seethy was quick to reply to Musk. Quote, is at Elon Musk giving me two emojis the highest I'll ever reach? This is my Icarus flying too close to the sun moment. Was that implied by the fire symbols Elon posted? Time will tell, he tweeted. That is the end of that article.
Okay, cool. I don't have a story idea, but I do have a business proposition for you both. Because, see, here's the thing. Elon tweeted this. A bunch of tech bros are going to be into it and are going to want to hire people to slap them in the face.
Yes.
To keep them off of Reddit.
This is inevitable.
I think that we should
get hired as slappers.
No, I'm saying specifically because there's a gender element to this, too, with like Kara getting paid $8 an hour. So my proposal is... women who have gotten burnt out from the tech industry, like, we collect your names and just whenever you need to, you can spend a day slapping the shit out of a tech bro.
I like it.
I think this would be a good service to provide.
Now, the darker timeline, Sarah, is the two-sided marketplace.
Sure.
All right. Before we go into the two-sided marketplace, let me start this timer.
Okay.
10 minutes on the clock.
We should not make Uber for tech face slapping, where disgruntled tech employees can get paid by the gig to slap the shit out of much demanding executives.
Yeah.
Or paying for the privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that would be like a perverse cameo situation.
But it has to be like a parasite situation where we sell it as a bespoke service, right? So the tech bros are paying lots more money than $8 an hour for this. And the volunteers, the people who choose to do this, who have gotten burnt out by the tech industry, like receive 100% of that profit. Like, we would have to do this at a loss and I would be okay with that. But we should actually come up with an idea.
Right. This is a nonprofit.
It's a nonprofit venture. That's right.
It's a public service, okay?
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Benefit corporation. Like libraries.
That's right.
Okay. There's a couple different sort of branching paths that I see. One is cutting to this person's life post-slapping when the fun has been slapped out of them and suddenly they find themselves in a situation where they need to relax and they can't not be productive.
Mm-hmm.
And exploring the story from that way of just like this person
becomes a slap junkie.
Becomes a slap junkie and needs to get the fun slapped into them. Or something like that.
Like they like tried to gamify the wrong part of their life and now yeah. like they just kind of can't operate without the gamification of their life.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, it would be breaking down that gamification so that this person can be a fucking human again. That's something I could see us doing. There's I don't want to say a meet cute between the slapper and the slappy, but maybe this right. is an Elon Musk romance. Billionaire type, and it could be a romance between two slappers who see each other at the beginning and end of a shift, perhaps.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm thinking more of like a 50 Shades prequel.
Oh, shit.
Where it's like, yeah, he just, how does he go dark? And it's
this
like...
This is only acceptable if he is an actual vampire. Ah.
Like the story of how this like vanilla millionaire like has a dark awakening.
That's
that
right.
Then,
that's
like,
right.
Can't be lulled back to sleep is what you mean.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
And it, yeah.
By being turned into a vampire. This is the answer.
I'm like gestures at concept for our show. It has to be turned into a good story. A good story.
That's right. That's why we leave this one behind.
Yeah.
Try in quotes. I'm not trying very hard today, guys. But okay, say more about this vanilla billionaire or even more tepid millionaire.
Well, right. He must start out as a millionaire.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, this is why he seeks such desperate measures as a perpetual slapper. Because
yeah, how did Gray make his millions?
Billionaires don't make themselves. Behind every billionaire. Is a firm slap.
Yeah. And weirdly, I do think for it to work, he needs to have made the millions. Because if he had been born into $1 billion having family,
he would be
pre-fucked up. Like, you know,
yeah,
he would already kind of be connected to like some of the darker sides of this.
No, this is someone from a solidly, one of those rare, solidly middle-class backgrounds who... got into coding at the exact right moment.
Yeah.
And suddenly created a product and suddenly finds himself with more money than he knows what to do with.
It needs to be kind of a, like, he thinks that he's making like a nonprofit, but then like a huge company is like, actually, we can buy that and use it for evil. Mm-hmm. Do you want like $50 million right now? And it's like, oh, sure. And he's like an overnight millionaire.
Right. Yeah, no, he gets acquired. And so he goes from like kind of a stable founder income of, I don't know, like 75 or 80 grand a year to I have $50 million now.
But he needs to come up with a new thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he can't pull himself away from the mind melting powers of YouTube until enter Clarice. No. I don't know.
If this is a parody, then she can be called Clarice. If we're treating this seriously, then no.
I may need the movie to be called Clarice.
People are going to go into that movie very confused.
Okay, so just like completely sidestepping around Sarah's very true thing that she just said.
Yes.
So well, he hires Clarice.
In this parody, she is played by John Cleese.
Oh, no.
With like face swap. Should we get Shamook on board to make Cleese into Clarice? Shamook being a digital artist recently hired by the Industrial Light and Magic folks, I believe, or Disney or some massive company to make better deep fakes so that actors will never die.
Yep.
And the subject of a previous episode of New Bad Ideas.
Yes.
Yep.
Bringer of Night.
But like stepping away from how the movie is being made and it's like what's in the movie. So, you know, so like he has his like newly acquired millions of dollars. He needs a new idea. He's wasting too much time on YouTube. Has the brilliant idea. Hey, Craigslist, hire me someone to like slap me. Clarice shows up. Then what's kind of like the next move?
So I this is starting to strike me as like, is the movie called Pretty Woman? Where
with Richard Gere?
But yeah, but
and
like
Julia Roberts?
But like with like a darker, more modern twist where it's like, the Craigslist dominatrix comes over and is like, you want me to what? I am a productivity app for like to you. And like, she's I think this is coming back around to your suggestion, Sarah, of like, this man needs the fun slapped back into him.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, though, I can see the version of it where it is still on the productivity bent. But if it's the like addiction that he's trying to break goes a lot deeper, like if it is kind of a like he actually can't put his phone down. And so then it's like, no, Clarice needs to go with him to like that like founder's dinner or that like big event. Like, you know, it's not just like sit down with him when he's at work. Like she needs to be with him 24/7. And so then they kind of need to come up with like the cover story of why so she's
there. Fake dating as a productivity hack is what I'm hearing.
That is, I guess, the way that
yes, it goes. Is.
Complete with, maybe
he can be his personal. No, that's no, the way it
no,
goes.
No, no, no. Complete that's with extremely satisfying cringe of all the public shaming that cringe. Shakes out of this.
Ooh.
And maybe what he was building was like an open source recommendation engine, and it gets like bought by fake Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But and of like course. And like or yeah, and then like made available for a fee to everything, and he's just because he's so involved in this, glued to his phone for these reasons.
Okay.
For the thing that he built.
Now just to add in a third genre for no reason.
Uh-huh.
Does this end with like him coming up with a new thing, him and Clarice actually dating? Or Clarice killing him and taking his idea for her own?
I think it needs to be the third one. I think it 100% needs to be the third one. Clarice kills, probably eats him.
Yeah.
I love him. I have
and
no
then
notes.
Steals his idea. And his millions of dollars.
Incredible. Yeah. I love it.
No, and like again, like the thing about it is that like this would go to kind of this like handmade sort of place of like, you know, like he's hired her to hurt him, but like who's hurting who? Like who is abusing who? And it would be like very, very dark.
No, the power dynamics would be fascinatingly awful.
Yeah.
But awfully fascinating.
Well, that's a good note to end on as any, because time, the 10 minutes are now officially up.
Christ.
We've created a movie I don't know that I'd see.
Nope.
This is great.
No.
Nope.
That, like... Yeah.
No, this
but
is,
I think it would do
this
really
is a trailer
good
that would be a
circuit.
Good laugh, and that's about as much as I would engage with it.
And again, it sort of depends, because like it could end up in like a 50 Shades of Grey place. Or like, you know, or if you got like, if you got a Takashi Miike to direct it could be sort of this like very good, very unflinching, very brutal movie that I don't want to see anymore, to be clear. No. Like it would, no. I would feel bad about not seeing it,
even
but I wouldn't want to see it.
Even if you put R. Patz and Kristen Stewart in it, I don't know that I would want to see it.
No. You would kind of, I think you are onto something, Zach. You would need digitally de-aged Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
I think might possibly be the only way to sell this.
Oh, God. Well, we're going to send another flare out to Shamook, who is, you know, rightfully busy, too busy for us. But we will be back after this futile attempt with more badness.
Can you hear the tweets tweeting, Clarice?
I'm done. This is bad. I'm done.
That was bad.
This is about as bad as it gets.
Hello there, Zach Valenti jumping into this episode with this brief reminder that we have an active Patreon page to support the production of No Bad Ideas and all the other crazy worlds we're building behind the scenes. To check that out, scope the sweet rewards we offer for monthly subscriptions, as well as how to sign up yourself. Head on over to nobadideaspodcast.com/support.
Once more, that's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. If you already support the show, we so appreciate that. And regardless, thank you for listening. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas.
All right, we are back. Nothing from Shamook yet, but we will keep you updated. In the meanwhile,
Shamook is really turning into like the honorary fourth host of the show, given how much we talk about him.
I'm just saying we could, if we could get them as a guest, I think that would be the last episode of the show, and I think it would be a fitting end to the series.
Well, it would be the beginning of the end, because they would then, of course, recreate our voices and plug it into a text generator.
Sure.
Anyway, yikes. Go on. Yikes.
Well, to create some more samples for the text generator, I have another idea for you guys. It is from the CNN Style section, and it's a little bit of a throwback. Because I like period shit, and damn it, we don't do enough of it on this show. So, the headline of this article reads, "Archaeologists discover ancient hangover prevention ring."
Hangover prevention ring?
Ring, as in the one ring.
Like the shit you put on your finger?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, raw eggs and Bloody Marys may be among today's hangover cures, but archaeologists in Israel have discovered an altogether different solution from the past, a gold and purple amethyst ring. Excavated in the city of Javne, the ancient jewel was uncovered from the site of the Byzantine era's largest known winery, according to the Israel Antiquities Authority. In an accompanying press release, archaeologist Amir Golani said that amethyst may have been worn to prevent the ill effects of drinking too much alcohol.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say survey says cursed.
This is what I love, this next paragraph. The ring was found just 150 meters or 492 feet away from the remains of a warehouse containing amphorae, a type of jar used to store wine.
Mm-hmm.
The excavation site has been dated to approximately the 7th century, around the end of the Byzantine era and the start of the early Islamic period. The officials said the ring could be even older. Quote, gold rings inlaid with amethyst stone are known in the Roman world, and it is possible that the ring's find belongs to elites who lived in the city as early as the 3rd century CE. Golani said that amethyst was believed to have many other virtues and religious associations, having been mentioned in the Bible. He also speculated that the ring, which weighs 5.11 grams, less than 2 ounces, once belonged to an affluent person. The wearing of the jewel indicated their status and wealth. He added, such rings could be worn by both men and women. There's a little bit more in the article, what the speculation about whether the ring belonged to the owner of the winery, to a foreman, or an unlucky visitor who dropped their precious ring. But amethyst is not the only hangover cure to have fallen out of favor. In 2015, an ancient Greek remedy was discovered on a almost 2,000-year-old papyrus, which recommended wearing a necklace of laurel leaves as a drunken headache cure. And in ancient Mesopotamia, a physician was recorded recommending a tincture of licorice, oleander, beans, oil, and wine in the instance that a man had taken strong wine and his head is affected. So I bring you some ancient hangover cures and a ring that was dropped very near where drinking happened. And I'm going to put 10 minutes on this timer. Tell me an old story, guys.
So one moment, just for calibration purposes,
yeah, of course.
Because there's a couple of different ways that like we could go about this. Mm-hmm. But like, if you had to sort of like the one sentence define it, like the bad idea that somebody had here was believing in hangover rings, putting on this cursed object, like kind of like what is the choice that was made?
If it were me, and it's not.
That's
but...
okay. But again, for calibration purposes,
I would say that the bad idea is like having hangover cure gear near a shit ton of alcohol.
Great. Okay, cool. Got it. So I don't quite know what the shape of it is yet, but I am imagining some sort of situation where I don't think that it can be set in like ancient times. I think it needs to be set in the modern world. And this like artifact has wormed its way back up towards modern society.
Archaeologists don't find it. Some person finds it.
Well, yeah. Archaeologists may find it, but I think we might be overthinking this. You guys are aware of Goop.
Unfortunately, if you're talking about Gwyneth Paltrow's magazine
health and lifestyle
craziness empire, right. Yes, I am aware of it.
And for a publication that promotes such glorious affairs as raw water, which is basically just like exactly what it sounds like, unfiltered, like
whatever the
extreme water,
of unpasteurized water is.
Yeah, that ends up giving people all sorts of parasites in the name of being all natural. I'm just thinking that this is exactly the kind of thing that they would do a listicle about for, like, get your hangover cured, shop now.
Amethyst, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And would end up sort of becoming the, like, must-have product of 2022 that then promptly becomes a backlash as, like, certain people end up using it for its advertised ends only to end up, you know, very much not being helped by the ring that cannot do anything about your blood alcohol level.
Did y'all ever see what was it called? Like the Pickle Man that Seth Rogen did in the pandemic, where he is playing both himself and his great grandfather.
I did not see it.
Who was preserved in pickles. I also did not see it.
I have not seen this.
It's a wild premise.
An American pickle.
An American pickle. Thank you. That's the title.
Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is I think the trajectory of that movie is like a dude from the early 1900s is preserved in pickles and then is able to be brought back to life in the modern era. And he connects with his like great grandson or whatever. And instead of heartfelt family things, it would be funny if someone from an ancient era found themselves suddenly in our modern era and their recommendations for medical treatment were taken seriously by the Goop crowd.
I see.
Right. So an old timey healer / shaman finds themselves a modern day influencer.
And just to be clear, like he is not kept alive through the actual magic of the ring. He's kept alive through some like freak, fell into amber, and was then like burst out 2,000 years later.
Right. I think that like the way to go if the ring is actually a magical object is that it actually works. Like someone finds this ring and it seems totally cursed, but it actually cures hangovers.
Well, and I think that this is a little bit what I am like having some trouble latching my mind onto, which is that like I feel that the ring needs to have slightly different powers for us to be able to kind of like articulate a movie around it, because it's kind of like, you know, okay, this thing will prevent you from having a hangover. Somebody tries it. It doesn't work. What's the worst that happens? They have a hangover. Whereas if it's like this ring will prevent you from getting drunk and you'll be able to like have as much whiskey as you want or as much beer as you want and you will not feel its effects and that doesn't work. Then it's like, oh no, like, you know, I got drunk at the wrong time. I said the wrong things to the wrong person. I have been like uninhibited in the wrong place.
Right. Like, and that's why I'm saying like the way to get around that is to have the ring work.
Yeah.
It actually does what it says on the tin, except it's not tin. It's made of gold.
That's right. Yeah.
And that raises like implications of, okay, if they find another ring that does more horrible things, how do they destroy it? Or like, use it and, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
My gut says if there are two rings and one is good, one does good things, the other does bad things, both need to be destroyed for like the good one needs to be sacrificed for the bad one to be destroyed. And so like if it actually works, like the Goop article gets deleted the second that it goes up because like Gwyneth is like repelled in from the ceiling to like get the magical artifact.
The Goop thing raises a question of like if something is actually completely has the potency and efficacy that it says to, then you're done selling shit. And so like the thing about all these like wellness shit is it has to work, but not just not quite enough.
Right.
You know?
Or give people the illusion of, yeah.
How's this as a pitch? And Goop may or may not be involved.
Fine, fine.
But, you know, two archaeologists, Sarah and Bob, they find these Great. Two rings in, like, you know, some ancient excavation site. Mm-hmm. Being the responsible, not archaeologists that they are, they put them on and weirdly find that they can't take them off. This is very strange.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It's a good, fun discovery. It's okay. That night, they're like
archaeology students. They're here on a
discovery. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's a very good adjustment, Sarah. Good
yeah.
call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't
that
know.
That night, they go out to celebrate. Bob, you know, he's not really into it. He has maybe like half a beer. Sarah goes wild. Sarah does 12 shots and, like, you know, two beers, three glasses of wine. Mm-hmm. And everyone is like, fuck, she's going to have it like rough in the morning. Sarah wakes up clear-headed. Her eyes are sharp. There's no pain in her body. She just had the best fucking night's sleep in her life. But Bob wakes up. And Bob feels like he's dying because he has the hangover. Mm-hmm, they have, like, you know, the rings have a transitive links, property. Baby. Yeah. And that is kind of like what, like, the tablets or whatever around the rings neglected to mention, that
yep.
it isn't just that, like, this prevents a hangover, is that this, like, kicks the hangover to a different person. Like, this kind of, wow. like, you know, like, sends whatever right. negative effects happen to you, they send it over to another person.
Right, and maybe
they can't take it off, yeah.
Maybe there was a hieroglyphic of, like, the sort of, like, person in the throne wearing the one color ring, and the person in chains at the feet of the throne wearing
underneath
the other color
the throne.
Ring.
Yeah, well, exactly.
But if it's truly sympathetic, then, like, when Bob, in pain, like, bangs his knee
right.
on the bedpost, Sarah feels it.
Right. And I would have the
That's
pitch
why that
of
guy
like
was
it's
in a
not.
Cage.
I would say I would have the pitch of like it's not 100% sympathetic. Bob thinks it's going to work that way, so he bangs his knee, thinking that she'll feel it, and he feels it. It's like, no, this is a classist ring system. Like, it's only a one way street.
Oh no!
Right, I was going to say if it was sympathetic, like they put an army around this person to keep them completely safe and unaffected, or it's
right,
a one way street.
They just live on a pillow. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that it is not kind of a like one shall feel the powers and the pleasures of the other, but it is kind of very much kind of a like, no. I am out. It is a one way outsourcing of things.
And then in that case, I'm just trying to think about the rest of the movie where like Bob wants this curse removed, please.
Yes.
And Sarah is just like, wait a minute. Let's not be hasty.
Let's not be hasty. This is an important discovery.
There's then a fork in the road where Sarah either is brought on board with, no, we should actually destroy these things, or they belong in a museum or whatever. And then there is, you know, the fork in the road where Sarah is the antagonist, and Bob must kill her to save himself.
And I think that, like, I think that both of those are possibilities. I think that, like, the other adjustment has to be that I think, like, at the beginning, Bob and Sarah don't like each other at all. Mm-hmm. And specifically, like, Bob is an asshole to Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. like, Bob very much, like, treats her very, very, very poorly. And, like, there is perhaps even a little bit
some
of that,
humbling,
like,
that happens. Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, he's a senior, right, she's right. a sophomore. There's a little bit of that, like, hazing. Like, no, you have to carry the backpack for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, and, like, as soon as she leaves, another student is like, Bob, what the fuck are you talking about? That's never been the tradition. And he's like, shut the fuck up. Like, she's carrying my backpack. Like, you know,
I'm a senior and my name is Bob. Let me have this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How far does the one way street go? Like, does she start to, like, Benjamin Button and he starts to, like, age rapidly? And, like,
that would be interesting.
Like a youth transfer?
He's aging for both of them.
Ooh,
at some point, right?
For both of them. That's interesting.
And, like, and as he, like, gets older, he gets wiser and makes the plea that ultimately warms her heart. Or, yeah, I feel like the world where...
Well, something horrifying happens to him, and Sarah, who is perhaps, like, been enjoying this, but is a normal person otherwise, is like, oh, no, we have to mm-hmm. fix this. I don't like you, but I don't want you to die, kind
right.
of a thing.
At what point would he try to cut his hand off to save his life? And would that even work?
At a certain point, then I'm guessing it does not, in fact, work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm guessing that, like, you know, the rings are like, no. What part of curse did you not understand?
Right. He can't bring the blade down
that easy.
Okay.
Well, on that, with that question answered, that is time. So we can work out the mechanics of how they actually solve the curse later.
Oof.
But I like this. I like this.
Me too.
A lot.
Damn
yeah.
good idea.
And I think that, like, it would need to kind of be one of those, like, they can get, like, the cursed breaker that is also a, like, surgeon to look at them in, like, 1 week. And then Sarah's like, oh, no, 1 week of petty vengeances. What a shame. And then that just kind of, like, spirals out of control.
Right.
But that's a matter for a different day.
Well, we can go break that. And we'll get back to you about how it goes. And we'll see you next week.
We need to figure out how Goop gets involved. We kind of lost them a little bit in the mix.
I'm okay with us losing Goop. Honestly, I think
I stand by this.
Let's have this take place in a field in Romania. And Goop does not need to be involved at all.
All right, sure. We'll figure out something else to do with Goop.
All right, well, stay tuned for that. And we will be back with more bad ideas and potentially more Goop next week.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, Jeffrey Felsher, and Dia. Today's episode features music by Stateshire and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review wherever you listen and share it with someone you love.